cold when it is summer in the light and winter in the shade. So we're going to do the news and then we'll be back.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Flooding in the Midwest has claimed at least three lives and forced hundreds of others to evacuate.
One of the communities hit hard by flooding in Nebraska is Fremont in Dodge County, where National Guard troops delivered supplies Sunday to people who are trapped in that city. There's no way to leave because roads and highways surrounding the town are flooded. At least 163 people have been rescued from floodwaters in recent days. Iowa and Wisconsin also have declared states of emergency in the wake of historic flooding and blizzard conditions caused by the bomb cyclone. From Omaha, Nebraska, I'm Rick Vincent for USA Radio News.
Police say they have arrested the suspect in the deadly Netherlands tram shooting. Three people were murdered and several others were hurt. According to the Dutch counterterrorism agency, the shooting has the characteristics of a terrorist attack. New Zealand's cabinet is working to change the gun laws in that country after a mass shooting at two mosques last week. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.5%, APR 4.78%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 33.
Mike Lindell, the creator of MyPillow, is a sleep genius. He creates things to make your night's sleep better. He created the new Giza Dreams bed sheets. He started by using the world's best cotton grown in the Mediterranean, and it's ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. Now, if you go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA. When you click on the Giza Dream Sheet Special, you get 30% off and free shipping. 30% off and free shipping when you go to MyPillow.com.
51 immigrants became U.S. citizens during a naturalization ceremony at the George W. Bush Institute in Dallas, Texas. Former President Bush has a reminder regarding immigration.
Amid all the complications of policy, may we never forget that immigration is a blessing and a strength.
An expected Democratic White House candidate nearly made his big announcement in a Saturday evening speech. As we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
A slip of the tongue by former Vice President Joe Biden may have let the cat out of the bag, so to speak.
I have the most progressive record of anybody running for the United States, if anybody who would run.
The crowd in his home state of Delaware cheering as Biden laughs, crosses himself and adds,
I didn't mean it.
Saying he didn't mean it, but there are reports from multiple sources that Biden has begun hiring a campaign staff and has told several of his close friends he's running. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Daily low-dose aspirin is no longer recommended to reduce the risk of a heart attack and stroke for older adults. That's a reversal of guidelines from the American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association. The new guidelines come after a comprehensive study. Fox News medical contributor Mark Siegel tells Fox News what you have to remember regarding this new study.
The message here isn't don't stop your aspirin. The message here is go over it with your physician and do a cost-benefit thinking on this and figure out if you should take it or not. That's what it always should have been. It should never have been patients going to the pharmacy and starting themselves on aspirin. This is a wake-up call for that kind of interaction. What's your risk of bleeding and what's your benefit from this? Between the ages of 50 and 70, it's still a good group to be saying if you're at high risk for heart disease, you may need a baby aspirin. So we're not going to take everybody off it. We're going to take some people off.
And for things you can do for your heart, Dr. Siegel says,
people should exercise more. They should improve their diet more. They should get their blood pressure down. They should lose weight. If we can get people to lose weight, then they may not need all these preventions. And then, of course, talk to your doctor. Nobody that's on aspirin right now should stop. But this is a time for more conversation on it.
And with no winner in Saturday night's Powerball jackpot, the next drawing Wednesday is $550 million. If you were to take the cash option after taxes, you'd have $334 million left. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
We're back in the studio wrapping up the news for our hour as we kick off to our Hot and 100 broadcast here. So we have someone calling in just a few minutes because I wanted to talk about something that was a little bit warmer than the air today because it is chilly and I know we need to do the weather. So let's get that out of the way. So we did have some sun earlier today and that was really nice, but it is chilly, 42 degrees right now in Flemington, and it's dipping down tonight below freezing. Looks like it'll be about 24 at the lowest point. Tomorrow's a little bit nicer, but we still don't see 50, but we do get some sun tomorrow. We have a high of 47 and a low of 25. I'm very happy to report on Wednesday, we're looking at a high in the 50s, 51. So we're just getting over the threshold there of a little bit warmer in the March air. But we do have full sunny skies on Wednesday, and our low Wednesday night does not get down to freezing. So we hover around 33 degrees on Wednesday night. We're looking at some rain on Thursday and very, very north of Route 80, they said, some possibilities for some snowflakes. But we're going to see temperatures in the middle 40s, maybe even getting up to about 47 on Thursday. And again, not too cold at night. We have 33 at our lowest point on Thursday evening. We don't see the sun at all on Friday, and we have a temperature high of 56 going back below freezing Friday night with a low of 27. We do see the sun for the weekend, 48 on Saturday, and I'm so happy about Sunday's temperature, which is 60 degrees. And that will feel great. I think we got a little tease in the air on Friday, and last Monday was really warm and felt so good to be outside, where today I do feel that chill and I regret every minute that I was inside instead of outside on those warmer temperature days. But it's a great time of year because you can still enjoy the cold, and it's perhaps the only time that I really do enjoy the cold because I know it's short-lived and I know the warmer temperatures and days are coming. So it's almost like a friend that's leaving, you want to enjoy the company or the time that you have left with the company, and then you're happy to be in the spring weather. So that's what we have going on. I do want to mention that the Hunterdon Chamber is hosting the 10th Annual Women's Leadership Summer Leadership Summit, and that is on Tuesday, April 9th, and that's an event that begins at 8 and wraps up by 2 p.m. The keynote speaker is from Cisco Systems, and that's Megan Lamb. And there's a morning session as well as some breakout sessions. The morning session is on partnerships within the community. And then you have a choice of three different breakout sessions, reputation management, public relations, social media, or managing your personal brand using LinkedIn. So some exciting things going on. You can find out more about it and register at www.hunterdonchamber.org. So now I'm going to do the commercials, and then I'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
All right, and we're back. And if I was at all successful during that quick commercial, I should have Mike with me on the phone. Mike, are you with us?
I am.
Oh, and I can hear you. I love when I'm not a total disaster on the radio. That's great.
I'm glad I didn't bring my silent movie voice.
Well, it remains to be seen, but you did promise that next time you come into the studio, we're going to do a video feed for you.
Okay.
So now I have that on record and in a podcast to be played many times at later dates in case you hesitate. So I was so glad you could join me today, Mike, for a bit, because when it gets to be this time of year, I'm torn between getting really anxious about the summer, but still wanting to appreciate every day. So we're getting more sunlight and warmer sun. You know, it's, you could actually feel it if you're sitting in a car with the windows up today. It feels pretty good. So I thought it would be a good time to talk about your company and what you do with the sun and with energy.
We try to utilize the sun to do several things. What we've done the most since 1977 is to make water hot for faucets and showers. It's domestic water heating using solar panels. And that branched into a similar yet different panel to heat pools for the swimming season so people can enjoy their pools longer in this area. And we also do solar electric solutions to generate electricity for homes and reduce the electric bills.
And you share a lot of things on social media, and some of that are the pictures from the panels. And they've changed so much with technology and sizes and those kind of things. I'm not sure if people really understand how the change in technology has made the panels really look much more aesthetic.
Yeah, I guess over time the panels started out with like a multicolor blue and silver type of a cell, an aluminum frame and clear glass with a white laminate weather barrier in the back. So it had contracting colors on the panels, and the majority of the product now is trying to look better with a black frame and a black laminate and a black mono cell. For electric, so the only thing you'll see for the most part is a black appearance to the panel with maybe some reflection on the electric wires that run up and down to get the electricity out of the cells and out of the panel to the next device in the solar electric system, which would be the inverter or the service panel.
And I'm looking at your Facebook page now, and you have a lot of different pictures, and really, a lot of times it blends so well with the, if it's on a roof, the picture I'm looking at now, it was a water heating system, but it blends in so well, you don't even notice.
Yeah, the water heating systems are usually a much smaller system. A typical home may only need two panels, maybe three, depending on how many people are in the home and how much hot water might be consumed. And the size and appearance of those panels is very similar to a skylight. So it's fairly flush to the roof, and with the aluminum frame and glass appearance, it resembles a very large skylight, and utilizes the sun's energy to make heat, and we get that usually to a storage tank to heat the water that goes out to your faucets. Very very economical, very effective. It's a technology that's been around for decades. Solar Living started in 1977 doing that, and the premise of using the sun to heat water really goes back centuries. So there's different types of ways to do it through a space between the roof, running water on a hot roof in the summertime, and then capturing that water before pumps and electricity and tanks and so forth existed. So it's a very ancient technology, engineered to work efficiently and effectively now, and that's one of the things that we're experts at in the Northeast. Our company's been doing it longer than pretty much anybody in the general area New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania is pretty much our service territory.
And let's talk about that, because I see from your posts on social media, you really are pretty much all over the map here. So your official service area is New Jersey, New York, Connecticut?
We have some work in Connecticut. We have some work on Long Island. We've got work up in the Catskill areas in New York and Orange, Rockland County nearby the Jersey border. We do some work along the eastern side of Pennsylvania and a little bit west of Philly. And I've got work down in Wildwood, New Jersey. So we've got a big radius of service for existing customers. We're trying to reduce that for new work just because it's gotten busier. And it's a bit of a challenge sometimes driving 2+ hours one way to tend to service. But we're doing what we can to keep things going.
Not with New Jersey's roads. That's just that's just fun, right?
It took me half an hour, 40 minutes just to get across Bergen County today.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know one of the things that we talk about sometimes with solar energy is the confusion between, unfortunately, a lot of companies that do some telemarketing that maybe aren't as reputable. And I know that your company has been not only been in business a long time, but I know you've also been able to highlight some of the industry standards and incorporate those into your work. But one of the questions we always get from people is, if they go this route, is there a good way for them to make sure they're with a reputable company?
It's usually based on referrals, but even that's not always foolproof, because a lot of the referral approach could be a brand new customer and an aggressive salesperson will say, give me your contact list, all your friends and cousins and so forth that might be interested in solar. And they'll reach out and call before you have any real experience actually having equipment on your home. So the best thing to do is get from any contractor that comes in to present a solution for you is ask for references many years out. So at least 5-year ownership or even 10 years if possible, so you can speak with somebody that's had their solution on their home or business for at least 5 years when any potential issues that could happen may have shown signs by that point, and it'll give you an example of whether the company backs up their product and installation and is there to service it when it's needed versus, yeah, I had the system installed by so-and-so company 2 months ago, and I'm so happy and pleased. And 6 months later, a roof leak begins to occur or the system isn't working properly. So you need to have references over time to get a real feel for the quality of a contractor.
That's great advice. I know that oftentimes there are permits that could be involved when you're doing solar work and those kind of things. Is that something your company helps with? Is that one of the things a homeowner is responsible for? How does that work with the different solar applications?
For the most part, our company does it. It is possible in New Jersey for a homeowner to pull permits for projects on their own home, but it technically needs to be work completed by the homeowner, so it's not typical that a homeowner would get permits and then someone else would do the work. Whoever does the physical work should pull permits. So we do all the paperwork for permit applications in New Jersey for solar electric. There's other paperwork for state registration and utility interconnections, because you're going to be connecting an electric generator to ultimately the grid at the house location or the business location, so you need their approval before installing the system. So there's three levels of applications and approvals required for solar electric systems. For solar pool heating and solar water heating systems, it's usually just a local municipality for building permit to mount something to the home.
I think that helps people to understand the process. Sometimes just the thought of filling out all that paperwork makes people not want to do something. Can be really overregulated some things here in New Jersey. And I have a question I have to ask. So if you have solar heating for your pool, how much earlier do you get to open it than your neighbors? And how warm is it generally when it is open?
It varies based on the weather. All the performance for solar requires clear, sunny skies. So whenever clear, sunny skies are available and basically frost is gone, pool season, if you have the ability to open a pool yourself, you can be swimming in a pool early May at temperatures potentially in the upper 70s to low 80 degrees. Which is what most people are trying to heat their pool to when they call us. The pools are maybe in the mid to upper 70s in July with just the sun and no other type of heater. On good heat waves, good sunny conditions, they might reach the low 80s in July. So it's what most people call us for is they're trying to get what they experience a couple weeks a year in July for pool temperatures and expand that from at least Memorial Day to Labor Day.
That sounds.
But I've got clients that opened their pool in the middle of April and have reached 80 degrees on May 1st. I've got clients that have kept their pools open until Halloween. And if it's been unseasonably warm and sunny into October, which is rare, and if the customer closes the pool themselves, they could have an 80-degree pool in October if the weather cooperates.
That's exactly what we need to hear today, Mike. That is exactly what we want to hear. How long can that pool be open and how warm can it be? So you're saying if you have a solar system in your pool in about a month, you can definitely have it open and could be enjoying it. Because you can get warm days. Like we just had that day last Friday. I ran in shorts.
Absolutely. Hey, it was 70. It was almost 70 degrees, upper 60s.
It was crazy.
Yeah, if it's clear and sunny, the pool temperatures could exceed ambient temperatures. So it just requires clear, sunny days, low wind, somewhat mild overnight temperatures for the season. And if it starts, if it's chilly early in the season at night, or at the end of the season at night, a pool cover could help trap the heat in the pool so that it's still there the next day in the morning if you're a morning swimmer. But the solar can be a very effective tool, and every degree is free. There's no, currently our governor hasn't taxed the sun yet, so every degree is free when it comes from the sun.
Well, there is some different pending legislation in New Jersey on some different solar applications, so I haven't done enough research on it, but I know that alternative energy is important and going green, and hopefully when legislation gets passed, it'll be to incentivize having solar energy, not taxing it.
Yes, we're in another transitional period in New Jersey, and at the end of the year, the federal tax credits are going to start to reduce for solar electric and solar water heating systems. So there could be... and there usually is, toward the end of any government program or transition, is a rush to get the incentives at the level that they are currently before they drop. We're pretty busy right now trying to keep up with the anticipated fall of the tax credit after December 31st of this year.
And can you tell us what the SRECs are?
All right, so SRECs, it stands for Solar Renewable Energy Credit. And it's basically an increment of generation from solar electric systems, and it's measured in kilowatt hours, just like your electric meter is read by the utility company and your bill is based on the number of kilowatt hours that you're consuming. An SREC is equal to 1,000 kilowatt hours of solar electric generation. And basically, it exists, that market exists. The utility companies in New Jersey have two choices. It's either pay a fine for generating pollution with fossil fuels, coal, natural gas, or purchase renewable energy credits from clean energy generating facilities on homes and businesses and fields throughout the state. The fines are more expensive than the SRECs, so ideally the utility companies will purchase the SRECs, and that's an income stream for whoever owns the system, which varies based on the contracts and the installers and how the homeowner or business chooses to have the equipment on their premise.
Thank you for that. That is a pretty comprehensive understanding of something that can sound really complicated. And so people can still take advantage of the tax credit now this year, right?
Yep, the tax credit is 30% this year until midnight of December 31st, and then it drops to 26% for next year, and then 22% the following year, and then 10% the year after that.
Okay.
So it's gonna have a negative impact on the economics.
But, and is there any pending legislation to change that, or is that a firm thing that's going to happen?
It's firm for the federal tax credit. New Jersey has some other things going on with the SREC market. Our current governor is trying to incentivize what's called community solar. It's one large solar facility somewhere, whether it's a roof of a major massive warehouse roof somewhere in the state, or a farm or land project that could be a very sizable solar energy facility. And then people that typically can't put solar panels on their roof because there's too many trees, the roof design is so broken up that you can't effectively mount panels to it. It gives those types of homeowners that are interested in solar but the site isn't feasible an option to buy a share or a fraction of a much larger system. So that's starting to happen, and the limit on SRECs in New Jersey is going to be 5.1% of the kilowatt hours sold by each utility company. So as each utility area, PSE&G, JCP&L, Atlantic Power, Orange and Rockland are the four major utilities in the state. When the SREC volume in their area equals 5.1%, then SRECs will no longer be available to new systems.
At all?
At all.
Wow.
That's correct. The way things currently are heading. So, and that could be in the very near future. So, it's now probably say this every year, but now is a great time to go solar because the uncertainty during that transition, if product prices and government regulations don't decrease the cost of solar installations in the near term, the loss of these financial incentives will make solar look less financially attractive. As little as next year or the following year.
That's a huge change in the industry, so we'll have to stay posted on that, and you'll have to keep us posted if any of that legislation changed. I wanted to mention also that you recently were awarded the exclusive solar industries distributor and premier silver master dealer, and that certificate is valid through 2020, so congratulations on that. That was presented by Aquatherm Industries Incorporated.
Yeah, they're right in New Jersey. They're a manufacturer of the solar pool heating product that we use. They've been making solar pool heating collectors in central New Jersey since 76, 77. So a homegrown product made in the USA, made in the Garden State, and we use it to heat pools.
That is a pretty good story.
It is.
Congratulations on that award. That's great. And, you know, we have not given people information about your company or how they could contact you. And I don't know how much time you have with us today, but I definitely want to get that information out.
Okay. Well, the company is Solar Living, and our website is capturethesun.com. And our phone number is 973-691-8483.
Perfect. Thanks for providing that information, and thanks for spending a little bit of your day with us here at Hot and Hunterdon. We always like when you could come into the studio for a visit so I get to see you and catch up with you and hear more about some of the community things that you do as well. With the veterans, you're very active and involved in that, and we always like to catch up with you on that. So I do think you're going to book another date with us when you can travel to visit us, right?
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, we better work on that and get that penciled in.
Yeah, I prefer to be in studio. It's just easier to have a conversation with somebody when you're looking at them as opposed to having a headset on.
Well, you're doing okay. Do you have time to stay with us? I have to pay the bills, or do you need to be back on the road?
No, I have some time. I can
stick
around.
Fantastic. So Mike's going to stay with us so we could talk a little bit more about solar energy. And I'd like to talk more also about, we went over briefly the solar pool heating, because obviously that is what I am focused on. I want to make sure that our pools will all be open this year as early as possible so I could visit everyone who has an early pool opening. But I also wanted to talk about the water heating and some of the other things that they do. So he'll stay with us, but I do have to pay the bills and I'm a little behind in my commercials here. So let's get through that and then I'll be back in the studio and Mike will be with us on the phone.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back in the studio and on the phone with Mike from Solar Living. Mike, thanks for staying with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And before we went to break, I wanted to just get a good overview of some of the services that you provide. We talked a little bit about the solar heating for pool openings, and just briefly you touched on hot water heaters. So maybe we could just talk a little bit about that and the services that your company, Solar Living, provides.
Okay, so solar water heating is typically a system that supplements or preheats the domestic water that goes through the hot water faucets in the house. It often includes a separate storage tank that's heated only by solar collectors. There's usually a about two panels on a roof in a sunny southerly facing orientation. There's piping that connects the panels to the storage tank, either a heat exchanger that's separate from the tank or a heat exchanger that's part of the tank, and a antifreeze water mixture heat transfer fluid. So the panels get hot in the sun. A circulating pump moves the heat transfer fluid through the panels to get the heat from the panels to the storage tank, and it heats the domestic water. And then when someone turns on a hot water faucet, the hot water comes out of the solar storage tank and goes to a traditional storage tank, a furnace, and then out to the faucet. So it saves money year-round on hot water heating costs by at least preheating the water. And I say at least because in the summertime, two solar panels can get an 80-gallon storage tank over 150 to 160 degrees, which is more than hot enough to go direct out the faucets. In the wintertime, it may only average 80 degrees, maybe 90 degrees. On a good sunny day, it might get over 100 degrees. So you might need some additional heat from a backup storage tank or furnace to get it to what's typically hot water, which is usually about 120 degrees.
Wow. And out in the rural parts of New Jersey, and yes, we know there still are some from the pictures that you post every now and again, you don't have the option of natural gas. So a lot of times hot water heating will be done with oil or with propane. And depending on the supply and demand of those things, the prices can really fluctuate. So I'm assuming if you use a solar energy solution for the hot water, you can sort of maintain what your costs are, and it's probably easier to budget?
Yeah, oil is the easiest comparison for fuel savings. A typical oil furnace for hot water purposes might burn about 3/4 of a gallon of oil per day. To a gallon of oil per day on average to make enough hot water for a family of four. And we could save about 70 to 75% of that on an annual basis. So to convert the energy savings to oil dollars, a typical family of four could see a reduction in oil consumption for water heating of about 200 gallons a year times whatever the price of oil is at the time. And it's been as high as $4.50 to $5 a gallon just a few years ago. It's typically in the maybe $2.75 to $3.25 range for a gallon of home heating oil right now. So the savings has dropped because of energy prices dropping. Propane is somewhat in the same general area as oil prices, but there's a little bit less energy in propane per gallon than a gallon of heating oil, so the savings and efficiency calculations are a little different.
And what I can say, because I have propane as a supplier, is that those costs can really and significantly vary depending on the carrier and or if you own your own tanks or if you rent them from a provider, and then you're locked into different contracts and costs. So while some people may be able to negotiate a better rate, and sometimes it's really less expensive, like in the bordering Pennsylvania, than it is in New Jersey, which I can't quite understand such a range. But I know some people could be paying $4 right now for propane.
Mm-hmm.
So it really
I've heard below $2 from some of our customers
in Pennsylvania.
I don't know how they're doing that, but that seems exceptionally low compared to the majority of prices that we hear from some of our customers that use propane. So, yeah, there's a huge range of prices on propane. Home heating oil usually is, I'd say, within 50 cents a gallon or less of a price difference from what we're hearing from feedback from customers. But propane has been incredibly up and down the chart at any given moment. So I don't know what drives propane costs, if it's just supplier-driven or territory-driven, small mom-and-pop shop versus a larger propane supplier. The price ranges for propane have been all over the place.
They really are. And what we hear a lot from people is that it's difficult to maintain a budget when you have such varying costs. So at least with solar heat, you can pretty much figure out your budget for the year. I'm sure you have solar heating in your residence, right?
I have natural gas as a backup. Yeah, I had solar panels on my roof until I had to have my roof replaced because my system's 15 years old now, and I needed a new roof. And I haven't put my solar water heating panels back up.
It is the shoemaker's children.
What I'm missing most is my teenage daughter takes like a 45-minute shower, and she goes through 40 gallons of hot water just rinsing her hair.
So, well, I think we just put that on your priority spring list.
Yeah, I missed the volume. Having an additional 80 gallons of hot water available makes it very easy to have multiple consecutive showers without somebody saying, "Where'd all the hot water go?"
But that is the case. Always the shoemaker's children. They never have shoes, right? You always are taking care of other things. And I know that when you had been on before and you talked about the hot water, that gives you a nice consistent cost for heating and gives you access to more hot water, which is really nice.
Oh yeah, I think it's a federal law a couple of years ago limited a traditional gas-fired or electric water heater to 40 gallons or maximum of 50 gallons. I have an 80-gallon solar water storage tank, so between my 40-gallon natural gas tank and the 80 gallons, I have 120 gallons of water storage that currently 80 gallons is not being heated. But when I had the solar panels on the roof, I have just two panels that were heating my 80-gallon tank sometimes to 170 degrees in the summer.
Wow. reminds me of the last line from Where the Wild Things Are, and it was still hot.
it's odd that when you're taking a shower and it starts to get consistently over 150 degrees in around April. And consistently till almost October. And it's odd to take a shower and you have the hot water set. And the longer you get in the shower, the hotter the water gets because the solar water is working its way through the supplement tank and then out to the faucets. So it's a good thing. It really is.
All right. Now we have to talk about one other thing because this time of year, there's usually power outages. That last snowstorm, whatever that was, with the heavy snow and the sleet, a lot of trees went down, power went down. Now, I know from your website and different posting, you use some type of microinverter that I think generates electricity during grid outages. Is that right? Do I have this right? Am I wrong?
It's possible with the next generation of microinverter that's coming out. We use a product from a company called Enphase, and they're on their eighth generation and starting to roll out sometime this year, which will allow power generation when there's sun on the solar electric panels without grid power. It'll be limited in amount based on the intensity of the sun, how many panels you have, how many microinverters you have. But still, for the most part, there is some kind of a battery solution required to have emergency power on a regular basis or some amount of time for a certain amount of loads. There's some kind of battery storage solution that's needed. But more and more of the energy conversion devices, the inverters, whether it's central or micro, are trying to provide some amount of power as long as there's sun on the panels, even if the grid goes down.
See, now that's what we're talking about. That innovation and that ability to not rely solely on one type of provider, because that can be really, really frustrating, especially out in this area in Hunterdon County. I mean, obviously, our show is based out of Hunterdon. And, I mean, horror stories, you know, days, people, even that last snowstorm, I was lucky. I just lost power for the day. But people were out for 2-3 days. And, you know, it gets really frustrating when you don't have another form or ability to rely on something else. I think the more you can dilute dependency on one particular provider, you know, the better off you are.
It's always good to have choices.
That it is. Choices are great. So the choice to call you or check out your website, let's give out that information one more time as we're wrapping up our three quarters of an hour here. You know how radio time goes too fast.
Yes, it does. Website is capturethesun.com. Spell it out, C-A-P-T-U-R-E, thesun.com. And our phone number is 973-691-8483. That's been the same number for 42 years, except for New Jersey changing area codes during that period.
Well, you're nothing if not consistent, Mike. And Mike, do you want to weigh in on any of the state changes this year for small business? You know, we're always promoting small businesses here in New Jersey, looking at changes for the minimum wage. We looked at for certain employers, depending on their staffing size, having to provide personnel time or sick time or separate out personnel and sick time. And, of course, you know, the different types of leave. Anything on being a small business owner you sort of want to promote or want to discuss with some of the changes here in New Jersey?
We're pretty small. There's only a few of us in our company. And most of the laws usually enacted are limited to companies that have a minimum of like 20 employees or more, which we're not there yet. So they don't always impact us, but I do keep my eye and ear out on the changes. The minimum wage right now, it may affect us in the sense that we typically were paying our trainees that come in just about $15 an hour with no experience to get some training, and then we would up the pay based on ability and performance.
That's a generous.
There.
That's a very
now with a minimum
start.
Wage of $15 an hour, it's going to be harder to find that newbie for us. So we're going to have to possibly increase our starting salary for the type of work we do. That's different than standing behind a register with less physical activity, not having to climb a ladder and go up two stories on a roof. So it's, even though it's a minimum wage that's expected to impact certain industries, it's going to have a rippling effect across other areas in the economy, because there might have to be an increase in wages to separate the potential risks or efforts required or skill needed for other jobs that are beyond entry level. And I'm a small government-minded individual, so I'm not a fan when the government starts making rules of things that tell anybody what they have to do. I understand the reasoning behind it, but it's not, in my opinion, what our government exists for. We'll see how things pan out. And I think the other recent thing was, 12 weeks of family leave?
Yes.
All well and good, but that all of those wage details should be ironed out between the individual and the business. And some people would rather have a higher pay than more time off or flex time, and so they may want to work 4 days a week and get their 40 hours in. I'm all for more options as opposed to government mandated. You have to do this. You have to do that. I'd rather it be, let me discuss and negotiate what's best for me and try to get an agreement based on that. And as an employer, the same thing. I need X, Y, and Z out of you, and they have a limited window of time during the week. As long as they meet my needs, I could be flexible on what some of their demands or requests may be. Government getting involved kind of takes that negotiating out of the picture.
Yeah, those are great points. We always like to check in with small business owners, especially when the government-mandated rules start to impact free labor and free market ideas. And, you know, we'll have to see how the minimum wage impacts, you know, your semi. You actually, $15 an hour, you know, sounds like a good starting salary for a semi-skilled person with additional benefits built in with some other training and capability testing and those kind of things. But it may be that $15 an hour this time next year, you may not be able to find anyone. So it'll be interesting to monitor that impact on the labor market. Mm-hmm. And always appreciate checking in with small businesses here in New Jersey, because I feel like we have so many more challenges and things that could make us fail than other states.
Yeah, the high taxes in this state are not making it easy. And the other disappointing side of things that have been occurring in this state are these tax incentives that are doled out to large corporations to keep them from moving out, and the job guarantees never pan out. It's almost a slap in the face to the small business, because those are never offered to small businesses.
And they are the fabric of our downtown community. They are who's hiring and sponsoring those youth athletic associations and the local parades and all the things that happen in the community.
Yeah. And there are volunteer firefighters and ambulance drivers. Yeah, it's unfortunate how so much is done for the big corporations, the lobbyists and the favors and the political donors, and how little is done for the small mom-and-pop places.
Well, at least during this hour, we can try to help promote some of our small businesses and people that you can call for business needs in the area of solar. That would be you, Mike, and get to know your staff. And I think I read somewhere that your business, is it one of the longest-standing businesses in New Jersey for solar?
Yeah, founded in 1977. Most solar companies that are out there today are 10 years old or less. So we've got a mountain of experience and a host of solutions other companies can't offer. And we service things. I'm routinely getting calls from people who have used the national companies. I wish I could say their names without risk of libel suits, but we get calls all the time trying to repair or service or deal with contractual issues with some of these big national firms that is unfortunate that we have to deal with it, but we're here to promote the industry, not to just make a buck and run.
All right. Well, long-standing company dealing with solar energy, understanding the rules, the regs, and willing to walk you through the permits. So we love when we can save and conserve energy. Mike, we're just about wrapping up our hour here at Hot and Hunted In, but I am going to compel you to send me some dates so we could book you for an in-person visit here in the studio. Okay. So I could see you and talk more about this and catch up with you also on some of the veteran projects that you're working on.
Very good.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
And that was Mike Mazzo from Solar Living talking to us about his company and the work he does here in New Jersey. I'm going to post some things on our Facebook page so you could connect to him. And then we're just about wrapped up for our hour here. So I know how it feels there. Well, look out.
Well, this is a very- The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen said Monday that her department may have been founded to combat terrorism, but its mission is shifting to also confront emerging threats online. Nielsen also discusses the threat at our southern border.
We are seeing the spread of violent crime and drugs, the majority of which come into our country via the southern border, both at and between ports of entry. What's worse, last year we identified tens of thousands of convicted and wanted criminals attempting to cross.
Heavy rain and melting snow are overpowering parts of the Midwest. At least 3 people have died and 8 million are under flood warnings. Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts says it's the most widespread flooding damage his state's ever seen. And your final numbers on Wall Street for Monday. The Dow was up 65 points to close at 25,914. This is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
March Madness is showing up early at the gas pumps as the national average saw an increase of 6 cents a gallon with that new high of $2.55 for a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us some states saw double-digit increases.
48 of the nation's 50 states saw prices rising, led by double-digit increases in 9 states, including Florida, Kentucky, Nebraska, Maryland, Delaware, Wisconsin, Iowa, Kansas, and Louisiana.
Another factor is in the past week, oil prices increased to $58.41 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate crude oil.
Government leaders in Northern Virginia are approving tax breaks for Amazon as they look to build their second headquarters just outside of Washington, D.C. The Arlington County Board voted unanimously to approve a $23 million tax break for Amazon's second headquarters to be built in Crystal City. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell, the creator of MyPillow, is a sleep genius. He creates things to make your night sleep better. He created the new Giza Dreams bed sheets. He started by using the world's best cotton grown in the Mediterranean, and it's ultra-soft, breathable, and extremely durable. Now, if you go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA when you click on the Giza Dream Sheet Special, you get 30% off and free shipping. 30% off and free shipping when you go to MyPillow.com.
DNC Chairman Tom Perez announced that Fox News would not be hosting any of the 2020 Democratic presidential debates. Over the weekend, liberal commentator Bill Maher went after Democrats for refusing to appear on Fox News and not even having a primary debate on the network. Maryland Democratic Senator Ben Cardin says Fox News has always treated him fairly.
I appreciate the opportunity I've had on Fox. I've been on your Sunday show, and I appreciate the way that Chris Wallace handles those interviews. So I think it's important for everyone to be able to hear different views.
USA Radio Network's Wendy King runs down the weekend's top grossing movies at the box office.
So you're not from around here.
It's hard to explain.
Outshining all other movies this weekend at the box office, Captain Marvel comes in at number one, starring Brie Larson and Samuel L. Jackson, total $69 million. At number two, the new animated feature Wonder Park at $16 million. The romantic comedy about